Everybody get up. It's time to slam now.
Damn. Yeah, man. I was like, we're just going to keep doing the Quad City thing. Just go from that into come. I'll ride the train. Ride in. Yeah. but enough of that. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine Patrol. Welcome to the campsite. We are your hosts, Tim, Jack, John. And on the ones and twos, we've got Ron.
Juan.
We got Juan on the Rons and twos, ladies and gentlemen.
Right the first
time. And today I'm allowed to stumble over my words because I've been partying all weekend. And why have I been partying all weekend? Because I'm celebrating another year of going around the fiery ball on this hell planet. And that's a nice way of saying that I got to eat cake and it's my birthday. So,
Everybody get up,
it's time to slam now. It's been an interesting year to say the least. Personally, it's definitely been, you know, rough, obviously, in the world, and personally, I've had definitely some trials and tribulations, but, you know, I'm alive, I'm relatively healthy, my colonoscopy came back clear, and I'm ready to punch God in the face on my way to 30, so let's do it, boys. This seemed like a good episode to do, like, just a retrospective on just the year and kind of how the last 12 months have gone. We're about 6 months into the COVID pandemic now, really seven. And it seems like a good, everybody likes to do a retrospective at the end of the year, but this seemed like a fun place to like just kind of throw one in and just talk about some of the fucked up stuff that happened, but just some of the other random shit and kind of what it says about the world. So I guess I want to go around, how's y'all's years been overall, like personally and just in the world?
I guess I'll start. So I had a kid in, November of last year.
Hey.
That was my third kid. And that sticks out to me as the biggest thing that's changed in my personal life. Mostly this time last year, while my wife was like super, super pregnant, I was in the back of our, land. We have like a wooded lot in the back. And when we bought the property, the wooded lot was just kind of butted up against the cornfields that surround my house. And it was all overgrown with honeysuckle. So I went back there with a chainsaw and I cut most of the honeysuckle out. I drug all the honeysuckle up into the front yard where we put it all through a wood chipper. And then I used the wood chips to create like the start of like a back to Eden garden in my backyard. And I did a Hugel culture mound, which is like a planting technique where you like dig a pit in the ground and you fill it up with a bunch of dead wood and then you cover it with the dirt. And the dead wood decomposes and it turns into like a really rich like planting mound, right? So
yeah.
I made one of those because I was like, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of money, but what I do have in this forest that these people that owned the house before me just let go to complete shit and didn't maintain it at all. I had all kinds of like dead trees and stuff back there that I was able to use for that.
Hell yeah.
And it actually, that the garden went off pretty successfully. Like we planted it this year and we've gotten at least 500 or 600 pounds of food out of it, I would say.
Jesus.
Yeah, we've been like kind of weighing stuff and like sort of keeping track of it, but then other days we'll like harvest a bunch of stuff and we'll be like, oh, did you weigh it first? Oh, no.
We should just do a mukbang of all of Jack's food.
Yeah. So I didn't get like the diversity of species that I wanted out of it. We got like basic, you know, staple crops out of it. I was pretty pleased with the way that it all went down.
Hell yeah.
Been my whole project.
Home Gardening's number one podcast.
Yes, yeah, Ohio's number one home and gardening podcast.
Yeah.
Honestly, like Jack should have a spinoff podcast that's just like home and gardening for the apocalypse. Home and gardening would rock, honestly.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your concept, Ron. Apocalypse, home and gardening. That's your film concept.
I thought we were Ohio's number one apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly, and we—that's why we have to adapt to film and change with the times, dude.
Ah, that's where the real
money
is.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, independent film.
Yeah.
So, John, how's you had a freaking eventful year, my guy.
I had a very eventful year. I mean, congrats on the baby.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Woo! I guess y'all are going to be hearing this before the other episode that we, you know, may or may not have actually recorded before this.
Yeah.
So. There's a big announcement in that one, but yeah, I had a very turbulent year with my wife Courtney, which you guys will meet on the next.
Yeah, episode. On the next week, you're gonna meet Courtney. Courtney rocks.
Yeah, So we were set to get married in May. We did. You know, that's how we started off our 2020. Like, hey, we're getting married in 5 months. And then, you know, the pandemic hit and we're just like, fuck, you know, do we have to cancel the wedding? Yeah, long story short, you know, we had a big wedding planned in the Les Farm. We were going to go to Disney World for 2 weeks for a honeymoon. And we were, you know, very excited about that. And then everything was set to go. And then COVID hit. Like, I literally just finished paying off the honeymoon.
Oh, my God.
Like, took out my 401k from my old job, not my current job.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Not a huge thing.
Yeah.
But
so you will get to retire someday, right?
Someday.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the rest of us, definitely. Yeah.
So, there really wasn't much in that account anyway. So, anyway. Yeah. But I digress. So, yeah, we were, you know, we had went through a whole turbulent time of like, are we going to have to cancel the wedding? And yeah, we did. But we did have a really still nice ceremony with, you know, close family, friends, so the wedding party, parents. So that's. That was good, and you know, we didn't get to do a honeymoon. We just stayed at a hotel one night and then went down to Big Bone Lick State Park where they have the wild buffalo.
Hell yeah.
They're not really wild, but they have them.
That rocks, yeah.
So that was a good day. But then prior to that week was also rough because we also found out that we were pregnant, and also before the same, you know, before the wedding, same week she miscarried. So
Jesus.
Yeah, it was rough. And you know, she's announced that, you know, publicly as well. So that's not too.
Yeah. You're not revealing anything that's too private.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's big. It's really, you know, commendable of you guys to be so open about that.
Yeah.
And what a painful thing that was. You know, I think a lot of people, I think, unfortunately still suffer, very much privately with stuff like that. And you know, it's nice that you guys showed a little solidarity. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah. People
so.
Need it right now, especially with that whole fucking Chrissy Teigen thing.
Oh, God, yeah, that was awful.
Where people, you know, people were like, you know, you should be glad that your baby died because you're pro-life, so you're like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah,
like,
what the fuck?
That's fucked up. Like, she's, like, grieving. Like,
yeah,
she wanted
Christ,
to have
man.
This baby.
It's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah, so we didn't encounter anything like that, luckily, but then, you know, it was kind of rough after that.
Thank God.
You know, getting ready to move into our house at the beginning of this year, you know, we spent some time over my parents and with her parents. You know, because that's where we had been for the last couple months. And, you know, found out again that she was pregnant and just currently is pregnant. So, almost the second trimester now. So, you know, we're got a good point to announce that. So, we're happy about that. But yeah, we also bought a house. And that's,
hell yeah.
That brings us up until now. But
to current speed. Hell yeah,
current
man.
Current speed. Except for last weekend when I had my brother come down for the weekend, find out that my brother's a little commie.
Hell yeah.
We had a very good long conversation, ooh. 2.5 hour drive up to Bowling Green where he goes to school. And on the way up, we were just talking about
the rocks, man.
Views and everything like that. I guess his only, I'd like to get your guys' opinion on this. He thinks that you could never actually achieve true communism as Marx described unless society collapses.
That
he thinks just at the current state that things are in. So I'm kind of interested to see.
Yeah. Like a full communist where like the state withers away and we've achieved full communism. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess by virtue of, I think probably this society is going to have to collapse for anything to replace it.
Yeah.
So I think that he's probably not wrong about that. Now, what that collapse will look like and when it'll be is your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
I think that it represents kind of a very foundational understanding of Marxism, right? Because if I were to say I agree with him that probably communism as Marx himself saw it most likely is not going to happen with the way that conditions are right now. Like, I agree with that. However, Marxism is not Marx's thought. Marxism is a science that is constantly developed and reified and boiled down and distilled through the actual historical laboratory of revolution, right?
Sure.
And so Lenin made advancements in the science of Marxism, and Lenin taught us different things through the Russian Revolution, seeing what worked, what didn't work,
right?
How do we move this society forward? How do we actually build communism?
And Marxist analysis is not just done through, like, specifically communist revolution. I mean, you can do analysis of you know, anarchist revolutions, the Paris Commune, you know, the various sides of the Spanish Civil War. You can do Marxist analysis of capitalist states or existing socialist states in South America or in China or whatever. I mean, you're still, whether you think those things are Marxism or not, you know, or you actually believe that, like, they are trying to build a Marxist state or not, you can still always analyze those things through the lens of Marxism.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Marxism is a framework, absolutely, yeah. Through which you can understand why things happen in relation to what material conditions
right.
historically made those right. things happen. And so, right. like, to somebody who would say, I don't think that we're going to have, you know, a communist revolution that's international, and then we're going to have this, like, world government that's a proletarian state that's then going to wither away into a moneyless, stateless, classless society.
Right.
I think that even within the field of Marxism, that is kind of an outdated view, and a lot more actual Marxists that I know kind of take, like, the more Maoist and even, like, Dengist kind of line on it, which is, like, you're always going to have this clash between the forces of revolution and counter-revolution. And you're going to have class struggle in society, even if the government is a socialist government, even if the government is a people's dictatorship, the way that Lenin kind of, because Marx didn't really make any, like, political prescriptions, right? Marx right. just, like, critiqued capitalism and kind of in, like, his letters to Engels and stuff made, like, political comments that way. But, like, Lenin really was the guy who put it down as, like, this is how you build the proletarian dictatorship. This is how you make the people's state, right? And then the right. Chinese took that and they ran with it and they made their own modifications to it. But then the big thing that they added to it was the fact that even under the socialist state, the class struggle continues, right? Because the Leninists and Stalinists in the Soviet Union said that class struggle was over in the Soviet Union because the proletarian
bye-bye,
state...
Bye-bye, class struggle.
Bye, class struggle.
Loser, bye. That's exactly what Stalin said.
Which obviously was not true because there was this massive bureaucracy and the Communist Party turned into the new, like, bourgeois class, whatever, like...
Right.
Read Animal Farm. It's in there.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and so, like, I think that what you're going to see over the course of our lifetime is just that class struggle continue to... go tit for tat back and forth across the world stage, and who's going to win, and if there's anything going to be liberatory coming out of it for working people.
Yeah.
You could be mark. Very
wait,
question
can,
mark.
Can you put the Soviet national anthem in the background when he's talking just there?
No, we have no way of editing this. Yeah.
If you can't sing every word of the International, you're not a real
yeah.
communist.
So, yeah, well,
speaking
that's
of...
In English and Russian.
No!
It was empty. It's
the
all
mic
good.
Is killed.
No, oh, no.
It does that.
Here, I'll fix that. There we go.
R.I.P.
Speaking of Marxist utopia, the time was October 2019. MoviePass was still in full business. I was seeing Teen Titans Go whenever I wanted. That was a good time last year.
Yeah.
That was one of the highlights for me last year as a movie fucking just absolute addict.
Yeah.
Was MoviePass.
Hell
the
yeah.
The last 12 months for me... I don't know. What was I doing for the last 12 months? Well, for the last...
Working out, man.
Well, yeah, I was working out. I had lost really? Like 90 pounds. That was still going on. For the last 3 years...
You've accomplished what I have not.
Yeah.
I got halfway through my journey and it went south.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's hard, but I mean, I get it. So, I mean, I wonder why I do it. Like, it's like, why is... I'm going to die. Like, alone in 20 years in a Best Western... And I'll miss my feature spot at the Chuckle Hut in Omaha or wherever. No, but for the last 3 years, I worked on a TV show. It was on NBC. It was a medical show that took place in a certain Midwestern city that started with a C and ended with an O. And in the middle, there's a Hikog.
Hikog!
Yeah. And no, we'll talk about this because I just now saw it. And we'll talk about this because speaking of politics and political movies, I worked on the trial of the Chicago 7. I think that was pretty much November of last year.
Yeah.
And that was a fucking experience. And then I was going to go to New York, and COVID said no.
Hmm.
And now...
COVID said New York machine broke.
Yeah, New York machine broke.
Understandable. Have a nice
yeah.
day.
COVID said industry broke. No, and I came back here. And this is kind of... I'm literally... I think just me personally right now, my entire life is in this state of, I don't fucking know. I don't know. My entire industry is in free fall right now. Because you have all these productions starting. Yeah, the productions are beginning again, and they're filming. But the movies are going to come out next year. And every release this year is getting pushed to next year. So are the movie theaters going to still be in business next year when all these movies come out?
I heard that AMC.
No! Mike is kill. I gotta do this again. I can edit all that out. No, I'm sorry. I forgot. I can't edit this.
Yeah. What? Editing? No.
Anyway, sorry.
I mean, otherwise we'd have my stupid ideas on every single fucking sound clip that needs to play during this, and it would be a reality. Unfortunately, it cannot be accomplished.
Yeah, I was about to say, we do need a soundboard, though.
Oh, we got to. Bye, loser.
To play during, right? Yeah?
Man.
Okay. So, oh, no, what were you saying? You said you heard something.
Oh, yeah, that, like, AMC theaters are were already, before COVID, probably since, like, November, like, I guess, thinking they're going to have to shut down.
All the Regals have shut down until actual movies come out. There's just, like, there's no point in us being open.
Yeah.
Like, I do the $20 a month, 3 tickets a week at AMC deal, and I've been to it a few times since I came back here, and they reopened, and ever since then, absolutely nothing new has come there.
Yeah.
So, I'm just kind of like, I don't. So, this is the reality. Honestly, more than likely, unless something happens, and we can, like, salvage and save all this shit, what's going to happen is, I think somebody like fucking Disney is going to try to buy up and start their own kind of theatrical services. And there's no antitrust laws in this fucking country, so they can kind of do that.
Yep.
So you're going to see shit like that.
Amazon movie theaters,
yeah,
maybe.
No, it's going to be that or streaming. And if it's just streaming, that means every movie is either going to be made for like $3 million or $200 million, and there's not going to be much in between. And that is going to radically shift how the industry works.
Yeah.
It operates, and I have no fucking idea.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoy your future at the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah.
In the meantime. So, I wanted to kind of go through here and talk about some of the shit that happened this year and get your guys' kind of takes and feelings and opinions. And I think that's probably what we'll do for kind of the rest of the episode here. Oh, yeah. My year was fine. It wasn't, but, yeah, I was already dealing with a lot of mental health stuff going into COVID, a lot of issues. I ended up being diagnosed with bipolar about a month ago, so that's been cool. It gives me medicine that makes me pass out at 11 and wake up at 5 every day, whether I want to or not. So that's you know, getting older's fun. getting older and less mentally well is rad. But no, you know, it's been same job. It's been same life, except I don't go to the office as much, and I don't get to do a lot of the fun stuff I was doing, like playing bands and hang out with my friends. So it's kind of like, it's definitely been a year of like, hey, what if you did all the shitty things that makes life not as fun, and then you also could not do the fun things that make life enjoyable for literally 6 months. And then I decided to start a podcast, so that was cool. But yeah, I don't know. Overall, it's been a really rough year, but I feel like I'm finally in the tail end here, kind of getting to a place where it's like, maybe next year will be better. So maybe not. Maybe I'll die. Who the fuck knows? But the reality is, I'm not dead yet. So here we go.
Yeah, that's rough, dude. Like when COVID kicked off back in March for me, I took it as like, oh shit, now I don't have to go into the office. I can keep working on all the stuff that I had to work on around this house that I bought, this like rundown farm that I'm trying to fix up. So I just like was able to pour myself into work and basically still work like 40, 50 hours a week. I was just working on like building.
You don't have to commute.
Yeah.
I was like building fences. Unless you have a very, very short commute, and I'm talking like
5 minutes.
5 minutes to 15 minutes. Like it takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, but, like, I was able to, like, still build stuff and, like, do stuff at my house versus, like, living in the city.
Yeah,
it was rough, dude. That ability to, like,
I'm not gonna lie.
Shit.
It was rough, man. I won't lie to you. Played a lot of Animal Crossing. A lot of Animal Crossing, folks. So I wanted to go down this list. I made a list of 29 happenings this year because it's my 29th birthday. And I wanted to get your guys' like, feelings or if you have any reactions to these. And we can just kind of talk, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll get to all 29, maybe we won't. But so starting off, it was October 14th of 2019. It was the trial of the Catalonia independence leaders. You guys remember when Catalonia tried to break off from Spain?
Yeah.
And like low-key tried to coup the Spanish government for a minute for their freedom. Supreme Court of it rocked, first of all. Yeah. Solidarity with those people. We're Cincinnati's number one Catalonia independence podcast. But the this was a bummer of it is that apparently the Supreme Court of Spain sentenced 9 Catalan independence movement leaders to 9 to 13 years in prison for sedition and misuse of public funds. Womp womp. Womp. See, and that the moral of the story is you got to win. You got to win, folks.
Yeah. History is written by winners.
Yeah, definitely. Except for the Confederacy. They really they had some very convincing writers, apparently, because we believed all their bullshit.
Yeah.
We did it for our own. We did it for rights and pride. You did it for black people, chattel. You douchebag. Like, stop this. Stop this right now.
Man, they're lucky all they got was like 13 years in prison, man. The Franco government would have just...
Yeah, they would not have even made it to trial under the Franco government.
Would have been summarily executed.
There are still a lot of Franco people in that government, too.
Oh yeah, that's... Yeah, the fascist party is still very popular in Spain. They had free elections eventually.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote free elections eventually. But, yeah. Like, the fascist party didn't go anywhere.
Nope, sure didn't. Sure didn't. So that was Catalonia. October 27th, 2019, U.S. President Donald Trump announces the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was killed by a U.S. Special Forces operation. That one might not seem that funny, but the part of that I remember is that Trump had to put a medal on a dog. The dog that blew him up. Do you guys remember this?
No.
Yeah, he put a goddamn medal on a dog.
I thought you were talking about the Civil War, World War III scares in like January.
Oh yeah, that was part of it. That was one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the guy who was. Well, no, that was the guy who was the Iranian general who shot that you're talking about. This was the leader of ISIS that was blown up by a dog that like chased him into a cave and then he blew himself up. And yeah, the idea that Donald Trump, the dumbest man in the entire world, had to give a fucking dog a medal.
The fact that the United States military, which has like space age weaponry, got him by having a dog chase him into a booby trap, yeah. Looney Tunes style.
He did great, folks. He did great. We painted on the side of the mountain, and then the dog ran in, and then he ran right into the side of the mountain, folks.
This dog is fantastic. He's like Wile E. Coyote. I've never seen anything like it.
Amazing. Anvil falls on his head. He gets right up.
Al-Baghdadi was holding a sign that said, help! And then he fell into the cannon. It's very funny. Oh, I'm sorry. God. It was very good. This is going to be a very stupid piecemeal episode, folks. Stay with us.
Can we talk, though, about how fucking infuriating it was when Al-Baghdadi got killed and they were like, Donald Trump defeated ISIS?
He did it, folks.
Like, God damn it. Like, no. Millions of brave Iraqis and Kurds beat ISIS.
Yeah.
Chased them out of Mosul building by fucking building. Donald Trump dropping one bomb on one dude is not what defeated ISIS.
Yeah. Millions of people and hundreds of thousands of lives is what fucking defeated a lot of, incredibly brave, many socialists, communists, anarchists, some of the and you know what? I don't give a shit what that is the one thing I will say. Pretty definitively on the show. I don't give a fuck what tendency of leftist you are. If you fought fucking ISIS, like, you rock, man. And good on you. So,
yeah.
Solidarity. November 13th, a very important event. Public impeachment hearings against U.S. President Donald Trump begin in the House of Representatives, November 13th, 2019. And it worked out that he was removed from office, and we've been fine ever since.
Yeah. We've had President Kamala Harris ever since.
It's been beautiful, folks. Yeah.
Thank God for our impenetrable institutions.
Yeah, man, they killed it. The senators definitely didn't vote exactly how everybody said they were going to vote and acquit him because they could, and they didn't have to have a reason. It rocked, and Alan Dershowitz looked great in his MAGA hat.
Yeah.
Oh. I think we... Beautiful. Beautiful shit.
I remember I was like getting new tires on my car and I was trapped in tire discounters for like 4 hours and the fucking impeachment proceedings were on and I'm just staring at it in like abject horror and just listening to these Republican senators get up there and be like, this is the greatest stain on our country since ever. And then you're just like, really? The worst one?
Yeah.
You can't think slavery, of anything worse?
Not the worst. Jesus. Not the people you extrajudicially murdered. None of that. No. It's beautiful. All right. November 25th, 2019. The World Meteorological Organization reports that levels of heat-trapping greenhouse gases in the atmosphere have reached another new high of 407.8 parts per million. with no sign of slowdown, let alone a decline. Dudes rock, dudes rock, dudes rock. Very normal stuff, folks. It's going to be fine. It's going to be very normal.
Wisconsin.
It's going to be it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great, folks. All right, so the next one's not important, but it felt, you know, a little necessary to bring up. Early December, this thing called the mystery coronavirus broke out in Wuhan, China. And I'm sure that's going to be fine. Probably not going to be a big deal.
I think it's going to be like SARS.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's not coming over here.
Yeah, it'll be spooky for a second.
This reminds me, I have a friend who, like, found all their old journals, like, from when they were teenagers and shit. And one of them was on 9/11 2001, and it starts off with, I guess I decided to mention this as a piece of, like, historical moments, but, like, blah, 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 blah happened today. Whatever. Becky was a bitch. I don't know. It's like,
hell yeah, dude.
It was like, yeah, you're 14.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I pretty much just put this one in here so Bron could riff on it. December 2019, the World Anti-Doping Agency votes unanimously to ban Russia from international sports for 4 years for doping offenses, meaning they will be excluded from the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Womp womp. The 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing and 2022 World Cup in Qatar.
We were talking last weekend about how fucking Akira predicted that this was going to happen.
That the 2020 Tokyo Olympics would be fucked in 1987. That rocks, dude.
Jesus. Well, no, here's the whole thing. There's I cannot for the life of me remember it, but if you Google it, you'll find it. It's a documentary about Lance Armstrong. And Lance Armstrong, who was the biker?
Yeah,
Lance Armstrong.
Okay, all right. I was just making sure.
Yeah, not Neil Armstrong.
There's an astronaut, too. And
yeah,
I'm
no, that's Neil Armstrong. Yeah,
they're the same person. Yeah. They're going to throw him in the boat with the Harrison Ford, Dennis Quaid thing.
Didn't Neil Armstrong actually donate his testicle to Lance Armstrong?
Yeah, I've heard that's true. Yeah, definitely, dude. proud Warren County boy.
Yeah.
He used to be Lance Fred.
Nah. Yeah. But there's a documentary you can watch about him, and it kind of, like, tracks his progress, and, like, it deals with him doping and things like that. And of all the ones that he did, I think he only did two of them completely clean.
Nice.
No clean. Came in dead last both times. Do you know why?
Why?
It's because literally every single person out there is doing it.
Yeah.
Honestly, when it gets to this level, professional sports in this level, that's why I say stop banning it. They're going to do it. If it helps you do your job better, it's your body. You want to fucking ruin it with steroids, doesn't affect me. Also, I want to watch you as this giant monster for my entertainment. Yeah.
I want to watch the Himbo Olympics.
Yeah. But they do that. It has reached the point where it doesn't give you an unfair advantage. It literally just levels the playing field.
Yeah. Side note, can we change the name of this podcast to Himbo Olympics?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Davinky?
I want, like, everybody at the Olympics to just shoot meth right before their fucking event.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't give a shit. Yeah. It's entertainment. It's sports. It's entertaining. That's why I watch it.
As long as we will help them get clean.
Yeah. Why would I be mad about you using something to make the entertainment more entertaining?
Let's see how high a human being can really jump.
Jesus Christ. All right, moving on. January 2nd, the government of New South Wales, Australia declares a state of emergency, whilst the government of Victoria, Australia declares a state of disaster amid the large bushfires that have killed as many as 500 million animals. Normal shit, guys. Just another normal day in paradise. We're going to be fine. Capitalism's going to make everything better. Moving on. January 31st, the United Kingdom and Gibraltar formally withdraw from the European Union, isn't it, bruv? Beginning an 11-month transition period.
God,
that was uncalled for.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. You know what? Fuck it. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
That's fine.
Oi there, love.
They don't
fuck the kitten on this one, eh?
Yeah, at least we got health insurance, don't it?
And then... That's all we have. We don't have anything like, wow, this could really devastate the socio-political. We're just over here like, oi, mate. We won't be in the European Union.
I do find British people, like, particularly ridiculous for some reason. Like, this is true. I can't watch British porn. I can't. It kills my bone. I can't do it.
Okay, so are you talking like one person has the accent and somebody else doesn't, or
no? Like, I can feel the vibe when they're in it. Like, you know what I mean? It's too like. I'm like, these people don't fuck.
Guys, this is
dropping like, me trousers, yeah, you know?
Fucking turning into the compound.
Oh, so moving on, February 11th. The WHO officially names the disease COVID-19. As a side note, the Iowa caucus happened just about a week before on February 3rd, and I believe my note says LOL, oops. That was not smart. That was not great. Ah, spring of 2020, the Dow Jones Industrial plunges by 1,190.95 points.
Guys, what's going That's boring. On? Why is this going down?
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought stonks always went up.
Yeah.
Do stonks go down sometimes?
Is something happening worldwide
causing this? Did they hurt the money? Did the money go bad?
Who hurt the money?
Who hurt the money? Oi, love, who done? Who done? Blundered the.
Oi, who buggered me ears? I don't know.
Who buggered me ears?
That sounds like a fucking Cheerio.
Who buggered
me ears?
That just sounds like somebody. It sounds like you're talking about Euros, like the sandwich.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like a fucking commercial for something.
What does buggered mean?
Have yeah, you guys I don't know. Seen the new Sam Adams? Your cousin from Boston.
Oh, yeah.
How am I supposed to continue this list, Rover? You're like, oi, mate. Yeah. The next one is like number 11, March. By March, 23,000 people were dead from COVID. Like, I can't do it. Oi.
COVID.
COVID. Bit stupid, isn't it? Oh, yeah, March 30th. I got to say, that was the one thing that rocked about early COVID. None of us knew we were supposed to wear masks. We could have all died.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, March 30th, 2020, the price of Brent crude falls 9%. To $23 a barrel, the lowest it's been since November of 2002. Remember when we all got, like, really cheap fucking gas for, like, a month?
Oh, yeah.
Like, 99 cents a gallon. That rocked.
That was great.
Yeah. Oil futures actually went negative, like, at one point this year. I don't know if that's on your list, but, like, yeah, like, $23 a barrel was pretty good. That was pretty early.
That rocks. I know. Hell yeah, man. April 16th. Bernie Sanders drops out of the presidential race, making Joe Biden the presumptive nominee. Mm-hmm. That was, wow, it was cute. Remember when we still thought maybe we were going to be able to change some parts of the system without having to fight in the streets? And yeah. We thought that, like, maybe.
And when asked for comment, Bernie responded, yeah, sometimes you get sandbagged, bruv.
Yeah. Oh, we might. We really thought we were going to be able to change things through the electoral system. And it turned out that, no.
I remember I was sitting at my desk at work and... You know, this is a COVID, so it's like me and like five other people still in the office right now. So everybody else is working from home. And I just remember seeing that on my phone, and I just had to go sit in the bathroom for like 20 minutes and be like, I need to take a minute to process this right now. I don't think I'm going to be feeling well from that.
Yeah, dude, I understand completely. I do. Oh, yes, April 25th. See, now at least I threw a few fun ones in. We've got April 25th, 2020. The Pentagon formally releases three videos previously leaked in 2017 of unidentified aerial phenomenons encountered by the U.S. Navy pilots. Yeah.
What about the one about the Pentagon releasing that video of the flying UFOs? It's true.
It's true. Yeah. No, we didn't make it up. Jesus Christ.
You know, and I think it's so interesting that, like, the Pentagon literally is willing to come out and say that it has encountered unidentified flying objects because there's no longer the specter of, like, the communists who also have spacecraft, right? Because they kept such a tight lid on it for so long because they were like, No. The United States government can absolutely identify every single machine that's in the skies because they're either ours or we have better machines than the Soviets and we can spot all of theirs. And there's no Soviet machine that could possibly go undetected by our radar and our protection systems, right? And so in order to keep that, because if aliens could swoop in and, you know, fly spacecraft around in our airspace and we didn't know about it, that makes the government look weak. And so, like, without the specter of communism out there, everybody's just like, well, I mean, America has the best technology in the world, obviously.
Right.
They must be aliens. And it's like, no, the Chinese and the Russians and the, even the people in the European Union have equivalent technology. It's totally possible. I mean, the Chinese and the Russians just stunted on the United States like two years ago. Where they put out the subsonic ballistic missiles that can fly across the surface of the ocean that our missile defenses couldn't, like no missile defense system that we had could actually take them out.
Oh, you love to see it.
And so it's like, you know, I totally believe that like whatever is captured on those videos probably is some sort of like just aircraft that is better than our aircraft because it's been developed by the Chinese.
You love to see it.
And the United States government, instead of admitting that they've been technologically bested, are just like, hey guys, aliens are real now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Number 15, Ron, you were pretty excited about that one.
Dude, this one is great. The Silver Corps, the private security firm in Venezuela. Is anybody, are you guys familiar with this story?
Oh, yeah. This was May of 2020.
Oh, yeah. Venezuelan dissidents and an American-based private military company, Silver Corps USA, unsuccessfully attempt to infiltrate Venezuela and forcibly remove President Nicolas Maduro from office.
Yeah, that was good shit. That was so... Yeah. I'm trying to remember all the specifics. Weren't there only like 200 or 300 of them, and weren't they like really malnourished?
No, there was like 20. No, not even that. There were 20. They lined them up, and there was maybe 10.
Oh, that rocks. Maybe. That's very funny.
And there's that video of them like pushing their heads back down.
Jesus Christ, like, Suicide Squad.
Well, like, and that includes the two like CIA handlers that were caught with them. Yeah. You know?
That's what's like so funny to me. I watch movies like The Suicide Squad, and it's like you have to stop the big demon. And I'm like, no, in real life, if we had a Suicide Squad, we would be like, go overthrow Nicolas Maduro that we can have cheaper oil.
No, that was one of the things. And that was actually one of the legitimate complaints about the Suicide Squad movie is if you read the comic book, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They're used for kind of like simple military operations like that because they're like, you guys don't have superpowers. You're a bunch of like criminal, whatever. Just go do this shady shit that the government like can't like do on paper. And that was a complaint in the movie of like, we're in a universe where we know that like Superman and all these people exist. Why are you sending these guys to stop this demon?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
It's bullshit. That movie sucked.
Yeah,
it sucked ass. That's the moral of the story. Don't try to overthrow Maduro unless you know you're hashtag damaged.
Dude, can we talk about how fucking amazing it was that like everybody on the world stage quote unquote endorsed Juan Carlos Perez for president of Venezuela, and the Venezuelan people were just like, no, actually Nicolas Maduro is still the president, and we'll be in the streets until you guys stop this bullshit, and just literally called out the United States threat of military force.
Yeah.
And they were like, bet you won't.
Yeah.
You guys have a terrible track record fighting communists in jungles. Bring it on.
They sure do. They sure
and
do.
And Nicolas Maduro is still president today.
Yeah. Well, having Russia and did China endorse him too? I know Russia did.
Yeah. Like Russia. Yeah, Russia did. Yeah. Russia did.
I really, really don't think we were trying to get into another proxy war with Russia also, which like fair. That's not always a great idea. Because proxy wars become not so proxy at some point, usually. May 6th, astronomers announced the discovery of the first black hole located in the star system visible to the naked eye. It is on Ron's backside, and I am looking at it right now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's what it says.
Whoa.
It's your asshole, dude.
Oh, no.
No, dude, I'm sorry. I thought you knew.
I gotta put some witch hazel on.
All right, yeah. No, I just wanted to throw one fun space one in there. Like, see, isn't that fun? We're at least going to get swallowed by a black hole at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me feel good, man. May 23rd, this is where it gets kind of dark, unfortunately. This is George Floyd was murdered by the Minneapolis PD, sparking massive nationwide protests. Obviously, we've done episodes about that. It's come up in probably pretty much every episode we've done.
Yeah.
In one way or another. And, yeah, obviously, like, in case anybody was, I mean, if I can get serious for a moment on my birthday podcast, Black Lives Matter, fuck the cops, and, yeah, that's pretty much, that's, in case anybody was unclear on our view on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. FTP, baby. Oh, this is a fun one. I'm sure Jack will have takes on this one, too, and I know Ron probably as well. Probably all of you, actually. You're all kind of, like, techie to some extent, or, like, at least have opinions on information stuff. June 1st, 2020, a $5 billion class action lawsuit was filed against Alphabet Inc. and Google, alleging the company violates users' right to privacy by tracking them in Chrome's incognito mode. I didn't realize this had happened last year. And I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize that that was... That's a pretty... I mean, probably to Google $5 billion, whatever. But, like, that's a significant lawsuit. And I didn't realize that that had even been a thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have feelings on that one way or the other. Or does it seem like it's even silly at this point to... I don't know. Like...
Incognito mode, you can still get it to function so that it can, like, save your credentials.
Yeah.
Like, every time you're still in, too. So, like, you can say, like, you know, any website, like let's say I wanted to go to Facebook and I use the remember me function where
sure.
you just have it save your username and password.
Yeah.
And just click enter as soon as you get there or whatever. You can still enable that in an incognito mode. So, the fact that you can do that. Like you should be able to at least like have it wipe out your save every time you close that window,
right?
Or the tab. So
yeah, it just
it seems kind of like it was already there.
It just seems like it seems like an odd hill to die on when like so many bigger fish to fry in this regard.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, like it seems like a weird drop in the bucket, but I thought it was interesting that I had just always assumed that, like, yeah, of course they're going to track you in incognito mode. Like, they're not going to stop tracking you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you don't want your wife to see you watch internet porn, like.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what that's for.
Yeah, literally. That's always what I assumed the function of it was.
We always talk about our NSA and
yeah.
FBI guy that's, like, sitting here, and, like, on the other side of the screen, like, watch us watch weird shit on the internet.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's just so funny because, like, it's just fucked up for me to sit there and be like, oh, really? We sued them over that? Like. Yeah, I always just assumed they were watching. Like,
yeah. Well, and like what that is, like suing them over collecting people's information while they're in an incognito mode, right?
Yeah.
That to me is just the government saying, wow, you guys are making a shit ton of money out of these giant computers that you have basically set up to just rake in advertising dollars and funnel them into the pockets of like five people. And we want a cut of that.
Yeah.
And we feel like our cut of that is not big enough. So we're going to say that something that your computer algorithm did is illegal. And
yeah.
we're going to fine you $5 billion for it.
Yep.
And the tech bros are just like,
sure.
Okay, sure. Here. Yeah. If it makes it cleans up their image a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, we're willing to pay any fines levied against us by
the
SEC
yeah.
or whoever. Like, yeah. But
yeah, we're not going to stop doing it, though.
We're totally in compliance. Well, but like you talked to like the engineers. Like, did you watch that the Social Dilemma? It's good. You should watch it. But it's like it explains. It's all these like tech engineers, and they're all like scared of these computers that they've created
mm-hmm.
because they're just the basic message of the movie is like nobody is in control of these computers anymore.
Right.
And it's not an NSA or an FBI agent watching you through your screen. It's a computer algorithm that is basically as intelligent as a person at this point. You know,
the fucking Matrix.
It is the fucking Matrix, man. And like it was just so weird to like watch all these tech people that are so intelligent, and they're all clearly terrified of the technology that they've created.
Jeez. All right, I guess we gotta keep cranking through this list here. So June 15th, 2020, at least 20 Indian soldiers and over 40 Chinese forces are killed or injured in skirmishes in the disputed Galwan Valley, the largest escalation of the Sino-Indian border in 5 decades. From what I understand, that I don't know if you guys know more about that border than I do. I don't know much about it. Apparently, just based on just the way it's defined or whatever, like it is really, really set up for there to constantly be trouble there, which is frequently an issue in that part of the world because, you know, I guess when imperialists left, they weren't real clear about things and they were just kind of like, yeah, you fucking figure it out. You know, it was all just our land and now you got to fucking figure out how to. Or if they cut it up, they cut it up completely arbitrarily. And then, yeah, now all these centuries or decades or whatever later, it's like constantly shit fighting on those borders. Them in Pakistan, India and Bangladesh, and friggin' India and China. Like, all those borders in South Asia are such a mess. And it's definitely, they're always ripe for a little bit of scrapping, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't help the fact that Modi coming to power in India And all of his very nationalist rhetoric about Indians living in India and getting all the other ethnic groups out of India.
Yeah, there's a lot of Chinese people in India.
There are, yeah. So I'm sure that that has heated up, you know, what otherwise was kind of a simmering border tension is getting heated up by Modi and his rhetoric.
Yeah, the same way, you know, our southern border has definitely gotten tense,
yeah,
to say the fucking least, since our idiot got put in charge. Alrighty, June 14th, 2020, World Monetary Fund predicts a deeper global recession with a contraction of 4.9%, down from 3%, noting two-thirds of all countries used $11 trillion to support their economies. Very normal shit, folks. We're going to be fine. This has never gone bad, ever.
Nope.
No, we're going to be good on this one.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I think I saw, like, the United States Federal Reserve printed more money in June of this year than they did for their, like, first 100 years of their history or something like
that.
Oh,
great.
It's like, they basically, like, it wasn't quite doubling the money supply, but, like, damn near.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
And they're just like, all that liquidity hasn't hit yet, but you can't just stop it from hitting. Eventually, that inflation is going to happen.
Yes, it is.
And then it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I was talking to my boss about that this week. We were talking about that and, like, yeah, this is, like, the U.S. dollar is going to lose some
serious fucking standing very soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, other countries are already bailing out of the dollar. Like, Russia has officially sold all of its U.S. sovereign debt. Like, that happened this year. They sold off the last of their U.S. sovereign debt. China held a lot more of it than Russia did, so they can't just offload it all at once. But China is slowly offloading their U.S. sovereign debt, as are a lot of other countries. Jeez. And now this, China and Russia are trading with each other and with their spheres of influence in the global south in gold-backed securities. Which used to be an executable offense on the world stage as recently as 2001.
Fuck.
And now apparently they can just get away with it because the United States military has completely blown its load and there's no more. They wouldn't be able to win a war against Russia or China if they tried.
No,
or any of their proxies.
Would not. They would never have the support for it ever.
And the fact that the petrodollar is no longer backed up by that threat of military force if you don't trade in dollars,
right,
has just It's tanked the dollar system on the world stage, and it's never ever coming back.
Yep. So that happened, and that was real great. June 29th, 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court rules 5-4 that the abortion restrictions in Louisiana are unconstitutional, striking down a 2014 state law, which, haha, I'm sure that's definitely going to hold now.
Yeah.
Now that the lady who should have, I'm sorry, no offense to her. She definitely did a lot for gender equality and other things, but she should have retired in 2014. I'm sorry. The RBG, the fact that she was still on the court and you know, they never got the court back, they never got the Senate back is a problem. I think we talked about that on the last episode, and that's, yeah, we're going to have to deal with the fallout of that now. July 7th. Oh, good news. July 7th. 2020, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro announces that he has tested positive for COVID-19 for the first time. I think he's had it at least twice.
Jesus.
Hilarious. I didn't know you could get it twice, but somehow that idiot can.
God, and he didn't die from it either time.
I know. It's such bullshit. It sucks, dude. I know. What a piece of shit.
Something that just also recently happened that we were really hoping and praying.
Yeah, it was really, we were having some thoughts and some prayers during those times. And we're not saying what they were, but, you know, the big baby in charge was a...
two terms interchangeable. I don't give a shit. Like, whatever you feel like you need to do to get what you want. Whoa, hang on, though. You know what?
I'm really high right now. Oh, jeez. Yeah, we can edit that out in post. Oh, wait, no, we can't.
No, we don't have the technology.
We have no way to edit that out in post.
I'm losing my train of thought, people.
At least we have a good one now. This is another one for Ron. July 22nd, 2020. Kim Kardashian asks for understanding for her husband, Kanye West, as he struggles with bipolar disorder on Instagram. Yep. Me and Kanye West were both diagnosed with bipolar disorder this year. That makes me feel really special.
He's the last living rock star. I don't know what you guys
I didn't hear that he actually got an official diagnosis.
It would seem that he did, yeah.
I just heard that his family has come out and said, we all think he has bipolar, and he's just having a a manic episode right now.
Yeah, it happens every time he drops an album, and nobody else except for Kanye fans seems to realize that.
Yeah.
Anytime. Obviously,
I think he burns himself out, man.
No, it puts pressure on him. Yeah. He always has a manic breakdown right before an album comes out, goes online and does a bunch of batshit insane stuff, then the album drops, and then it's just quiet until the next album drops. We've done this 11 times, but every time pop culture loses their mind, like, what's going on with Kanye? I'm like, an album's coming out in a month.
It's literally that SpongeBob quote. You seen this before? 11 times, actually. That's what this is with Kanye. You're absolutely right. It's hilarious. August 11th, 2020, U.S. Democratic candidate for president, Joe Biden, announces California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate, the first woman of color selected by a major party. Yeah,
not true. I saw online and somebody was like, that's absolutely not true. The first woman of color ran on the Progressive Party platform in 1952.
Were they ever a major party, though?
But that's the thing. They were never a major party.
Right.
Yeah.
I was about to say, there were like black guys and gay guys and women and all kinds of folks running in the communist parties and stuff in the 19th and early 20th centuries, too.
Yeah. It's just like that whole like rhetoric about how Kamala Harris is the first, what an accomplishment for her. And it's like, I mean, I guess if you just delete 98% of the history of American electoral politics,
yeah,
like, you know, you can make that claim.
Very rad. August 16th, 2020. We're getting close to the current day here. I know Jack mentioned this a little bit. The largest ever demonstration in Belarus as 100,000 people gather in the streets in Minsk to protest against the controversial election results and the regime of Alexander Lukashenko. You said they call him Europe's last dictator?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah, there are no dictators in Europe anymore, everybody.
Lukashenko just sounds like the name of like a B-side ABBA song. Lukashenko.
Lukashenko. Jesus Christ.
Do you remember when we danced, Lukashenko? I don't know.
I was going to say, as if Viktor Orban is not a person, as if Erdogan is not a person in Turkey. God. Yeah, he's the only dictator, he's the only dictator left that we don't like because he's left over from before the Cold War. That's what they meant.
That is exactly what they meant. And once again, you have on the world stage, you know, a lot of external pressure on a ostensibly socialist country's politics to try and get their quote unquote socialist government out, which are not socialist governments, which are like left of center governments.
Yeah, he's like, they're social democratic.
Social
dictators.
Democratic at best, right. And so it's like, you know, there's all this pressure to try and get them out, which 20, 30 years ago totally would have worked.
Yeah,
absolutely would have worked. But now, like, people are getting out in the streets and they're like, no, we support this person for president. Like, this is most people in our country want this. And even if you look at countries that collapsed under the Soviet Union, they did studies of those countries that came out like a couple years ago where most of the population of those countries were like, yeah, things were better under socialism.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
I dated a girl in high school whose dad grew up in the Soviet Union. And then, you know, it fell. He got out. I think he lives in Israel now. But he talked about, like, we had, like, a discussion one time where he was like, I lived there in both times. And he was like, and I've been back since and everything. And he was like, honestly, you put a gun to my head and I had to pick one. He was like, I'd go with the Soviet Union. Because he was like, at the end of the day, he was like, obviously it wasn't perfect and had plenty of problems. But he was like, I always knew I had a job. I always knew I had a house. I always knew I had some food on the table. Like, bare minimum.
Yeah.
I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the thing. It's so funny to me that like Western leftists think that people are just like in that country, they're clamoring for the proletariat to come and be glory. It's like, no, dude, they just miss having fucking food and a place to sleep and not having fucking Nazis beat the shit out of them in the fucking streets. Like, that's what they miss.
Yeah.
They don't it wasn't socialism by the end, I think, you know. But I think you'd be hard pressed to call the Gorbachev government or anything after the Brezhnev government even trying to be socialism, so
trying to advance. Yeah, I mean, they kind of stagnated, you know, trying to advance toward communism. Absolutely stopped at a certain point.
Absolutely. 100%. So August 19th, 2020, Apple becomes the first U.S. company to be valued at $2 trillion. That's how capitalism should work. One company should have $2 trillion.
That is how capitalism works. That's exactly
how
it works.
That's always how it works. That's how it's always worked.
Like, capital itself tends toward a singularity. Like, just the exchange of capital, the way that capital exchange works. Like, yeah. I read this book back when I was a baby leftist and trying to read a bunch of theory because I thought that it would make me smart. Yeah. And I read, it's called Capital in the 21st Century.
Hey.
Hey. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
But no, it's called Capital in the 21st Century by Thomas Piketty. And it's like this big, thick book. And he's an economist, but it lays out this like mathematical case for the fact that if you have capitalism, eventually one person wins the game of Monopoly.
Yeah.
And the board gets tipped over. Because the way that, like, mathematically that capital and currency exchange works, it tends toward a singularity. Awesome. You know? And hell, it's just like, once you understand fundamentally, then you look at a company like Apple and it's just like, yeah, dude, they've cornered the market.
They did it.
They won the
game. They won. Yeah. Yep. They won Monopoly. So,
Disney got my money as well.
Oh, so in other related news of very normal and cool companies, September 3rd, 2020, Mackenzie Scott, philanthropist and ex-wife of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, becomes the world's richest woman worth $68 billion, the most expensive divorce in history. Very normal stuff, dude. Very normal stuff for somebody to have $68 billion.
Literally just from a divorce.
Yeah, literally just from a divorce, dude.
Honestly,
what did your what did your mom get in the divorce, man?
Nothing. She lost everything.
All right.
I will say honestly, this might be God. If that was literally just a years long scam to get into this man's life, divorce him, and get $68 billion clean, she might be the only cool person who ever exists. If that's legitimately what she did.
No, she married him a long time ago. She married him in like the mid 90s.
I know, but you're playing the long game.
She did.
The long con.
I suppose so.
She's like, nah, man, nerds. Yeah. Nerds is where it's going to be at.
Yeah.
September 7th, wildfires have burned a record 2 million acres in California in 2020 in the fire season, more than the entire state of Delaware, according to Cal Fire. Listen here, Jack. You don't know a thing about Delaware. Let me tell you something about Delaware. We're gonna frack. We're gonna frack the fire.
We're gonna
put corn pop in fire instead of the. Listen here. What was I saying? Corn pop's gonna be in charge of the fire. Hey, shut up! Shut up, man! Shut up!
Fuck you! Go vote for the other guy.
You know what, Trump? Fuck you! Go vote for the other guy.
Yeah.
I would actually rock if Trump fucking voted for Biden because he's just like so done being president.
Yeah.
It could happen. Who the fuck knows? Yeah. But yeah, very normal stuff once again, and then the last normal thing that happened, September 18th, this is number 29, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, two-time cancer survivor, 87-year-old woman who had ample opportunity to retire with a robust Democratic Senate and Democratic president between 2010 and 2014, did not do that and died on the bench. So now she's going to get replaced by some insane Opus Dei, insane lady who's an absolute psychopath.
What are we going to get? Some dude named Davey McHate abortion or something?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a woman with very dead eyes named Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh.
And apparently her name was thrown around when Kennedy left for the seat Kavanaugh got. And they actually said, no, hold back. We think Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to die and you should give her seat to her. Like, they played that game. Donald Trump could be a one-term president who, through the mechanisms of Congress, appointed three fucking justices.
Yep.
It sucks, man.
Well, and he got to play the identity politic. He got to, like, play to the liberal identity politic because he didn't replace RBG with a man.
Yeah.
He replaced her with a woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's like the only thing.
Yeah, she's so scary, dude.
Oh, man. And then did see at the
her eyes are dead.
At the vice presidential debate where, like, Kamala Harris basically said that she thought that Amy Coney Barrett was too much of a religious extremist to be on the bench because she fucking is.
Yeah.
And Mike Pence sat up there just stone cold and was like, I cannot believe that you would suggest that a person's Christian faith could influence their ability to govern.
Really?
And
wow.
I was just,
wouldn't believe that, would you, Mike?
Oh, and I was just like, dude, he is just milking that evangelical Christian vote sector for all it is worth.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so good at it.
Yeah, that's why even though he's the least likable person in the entire world, he was governor, like a two-time governor of a state, like...
of Indiana.
Yeah. And he calls his wife mother. And I am actually, I am distantly related. related to
Mike. I really think he's a vampire.
Did you know that? And I'm distantly. I'm distantly. Have I told you guys that? That I'm distantly related to Mike Pence? As a,
oh, yeah. You did. Yeah.
So
yeah.
How does it feel to be like 1/16th vampire?
Yeah. It's through two marriages and an adoption. So it's not close.
Oh, now I just have the scenario playing in my head.
Thank God. No. I can still go into churches. Thank
another
God.
Vice presidential debate. Kamala Harris just goes, Mike Pence is gay. And Mike Pence just goes, if you would insinuate that I would not partake of the good, hardworking, succulent men of this country, <'cause I'm
fathomable. laughs> Man, I think we got to leave it there. I think that's the end of the episode. Thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out with me on my birthday here. It's been a fun one. And I'm looking forward to another year of existing, potentially another year of existing. And fuck it, man. Let's see where things go. Thank you guys for joining us. On our honor, we will do our best to smash capitalism. See you next time.